I'm very pleased to have 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins on the line with us as promised this morning. Senator Hawkins is going to talk to us in large part about a Senate bill, 5147, that he has proposed related to year-round school. But we'll also be talking a couple of pandemic-related items with Senator Hawkins this morning as well. And Brad, always good to chat. How are you?
Good morning, Chris. Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So you and I were just discussing something that I think would be nice for you to at least offer some, you know, public comments regarding. We had an opportunity to talk to your counterparts over in the State House, Gaynor and Steele, on Friday about this. And it has to do with, I guess, the educational chunk. You know, you were talking to us about your involvement in trying to get school employees at the state, in the state, vaccinated more quickly or as expeditiously as possible. And the governor supports that, but didn't really kind of tip that he does per his actions. And I know they've been a little bit curious to folks. So you wanted to, I know, talk about that with us a little to open up.
Yeah, you know, Chris, school employee vaccinations statewide are so important. You know, our school system, our society is not going to get back to normal until our school system is fully functioning. And so many of the teachers are now back in the classrooms, inside the buildings. And it's not just teachers, it's also administrators and support staff. And they deserve to have access to the vaccine if they want to get vaccinated. And so when the governor and the Department of Health recently came out with their first original vaccine distribution plan, I said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. School employees beginning in February that were over the age of 50, they would be eligible to be vaccinated. But the school employees under the age of 50, which was a huge portion of the school employee group, would be pushed out until April or May, and there's two doses, 3 weeks apart. I said that's unacceptable. So I coordinated a letter, a bipartisan letter, with the chairs of the House and Senate Education Committees, and I said, we need to change this. And the governor, to his credit, agreed. He said, okay, you're right. We're going to allow all school employees, regardless of age, to be eligible to get vaccinated in the B2 phase. Well, I thought that was great. And at the time, the B2 phase was supposed to begin February 1st. Here we are. Let's get these school employees vaccinated. But then he's kind of played some, you know, he's taken some creative liberties with his calendar. And now if you look at the COVID-19 vaccination schedule that Department of Health put out, the phases, B1, which we're now in, B2, which is next, and others, are not really identified by month, but kind of like by vague seasons, like, spring, summer, you know, and all these sort of things. And so really what I'm calling on the governor to do now is to go ahead and move everybody into the B2 phase, or allow the local healthcare providers and the local health officials to essentially coordinate their own vaccine distributions. I think too much top-down coordination, if you will, is basically leading to bureaucracy. And what you've seen is, at least early on in the vaccination process, a lot of the vaccines that were allocated went unadministered. Now, hopefully, that's not the case going forward. But regardless, we need to get these school employees vaccinated. Superintendent Rakedahl released a Get Ready plan statewide for how we could do that for school employees once we move into that phase. We just need to get there, you know, sooner rather than later.
Yeah, Brad, it's a discussion I think that we could go down several different avenues regarding. I know it's been a little bit disturbing, some of the news that we're hearing about from some of the Westside Medical Centers, for example, that set up some inoculations by appointment or by sort of RSVP, if you will, to their major donors, anybody that gave $10,000 or more.
Right.
And, you know, and activities like that, quite frankly, in our world are not surprising, but they're still rather egregious given the circumstances that we're under. And so, yeah, I guess we'll just have to see how that evolves, but hopefully everybody can get vaccinated at some point here in the future. And I know that we are running a story today about how the dosings at Town Toyota Center will be doubled for this week as opposed to last. So we're already ahead of the game. So I guess let's try to do the best we can not to complain about our situation. We're in better waters than we were some time ago.
Well, that's true. That's true also, Chris. except I hope that the Department of Health isn't just playing a shell game with the vaccine doses, and the ones that were going to Leavenworth and some of the other areas throughout our region are no longer going there, and all of them are going to the Town Toyota Center. But regardless, I think getting people vaccinated is super important. If we can just keep the cars rolling, let them roll down their windows, let them roll up their sleeves, get people vaccinated, give the locals who are administering the vaccinations more discretion so that no vaccines go unadministered. You know, that's really important. And, you know, these are tough calls. I mean, I'm not at all saying the older Washingtonians should not be vaccinated. I totally support that. But what I am saying, for example, with school employees is those that are on the front lines in buildings and no longer able to self-isolate, like some of our older Washingtonians can still do, fortunately, but these school employees are helping to our state fulfill its paramount duty, and they deserve to be vaccinated. And right now, the governor says 65 is the magic number. So in my opinion, you're telling me, the governor's telling me, Chris, if you're a 64-year-old teacher 1 year from retirement, you cannot get vaccinated. And I have a problem with that.
Yeah, and I can see why, although, you know, I guess there has to be some sweeping generalizations made in a time like this. But at the same time, there's obviously a litany of exceptions that you would imagine should fall in line. And we wonder about what those could be related to, you know, importance of occupation and how the virus could spread potentially. I know that Superintendent Rakedahl has also made a really big push to get teachers back in class. In fact, he's essentially insisting on it, regardless of whether teachers and other staff have been inoculated or not.
Yeah, and that's a whole nother question too, in terms of like vaccine protocols and what school districts will be allowed to do in terms of, you know, requiring vaccinations and what the teachers union wants to do. Certainly in-person school instruction can be safe if everyone's following strict mitigation protocols, distancing and masks and things like that. But, you know, these are tough calls, but the challenging situation is the governor, you know, and to his credit, I mean, this is a complicated issue. I'm not trying to pile on. He often says, well, you know, a 25-year-old teacher shouldn't be vaccinated over an 80 or 90-year-old person. But the reality, Chris, is with his strict rules that he's put in place, a 64-year-old teacher who is inside the building interacting with potentially hundreds of students each day cannot be vaccinated right now. And a 65-year-old person who is a non-teacher who can still self-isolate can't get vaccinated. And so, you know, these are tough questions. And I think everybody just wants everything to be back to normal. And so patience is important. I'm trying to abide by that as well and remind myself of that each day. But, you know, these are tough issues, and hopefully we can sort all these out in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah. Well, without trying to take a shot at Governor Inslee, it just sounds like a sort of traditionally trained bureaucratic mentality, if you ask me. And it's kind of like asking to buy liquor 10 minutes short of your 21st birthday and having the, you know, person say, rightfully so, I guess, per are the laws. Nope, 21 means 21. So you got to wait for 10 more minutes before you go to the cash register. Talking with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins today here on the Coho Morning Show. Brad, let's switch focus to SB 5147. This is something that you have proposed related to changes in the school year, and I know we wanted to talk as much depth as possible about this today because you've been eager to inform and educate the listeners of our audience about this. So tell us more about this offering that you have in the Senate this year.
Well, I sponsored this bill. It has bipartisan support. The lead co-sponsor is my colleague who, from the 41st District out of Mercer Island, is the chair of the Senate's Education Committee. And we put this bill forward essentially to address a concept called learning loss, which is obviously very much felt as a result of the COVID pandemic. You know, there has been significant learning loss due to the less than ideal circumstances around remote instruction, due to the lack of in-building instruction for a lot of the students. And so the reality is, Chris, the harsh reality is that students across our K-12 system right now will be bearing the burden of their learning loss, perhaps through the remainder of their K-12 experience and potentially into their K-20 years in college. And so that pandemic learning loss, as well as the pre-pandemic learning loss that occurs annually when students take 3 months off every year during the summer for summer break. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I really think we need to, you know, learn from this pandemic. And as we prepare ourselves as a state to pull out of this, we should be thinking about some transformational changes in our educational system. You know, the 3 month break was something established long ago when families needed their children to help out on the family farm in the summer. And now it largely goes unquestioned as just a commonly accepted school calendar that is essentially statewide and nationwide. And if we were to design the school calendar now, I can't imagine we would design it the way we do. And so my bill essentially tries to encourage the school districts to take their existing 180 state-funded school days and apportion those days over a full 12-month period. Maybe they could take a four-week break in the summertime, maybe even a little bit longer in the summer, but they might have to take other three-week breaks throughout the year or another one-month break maybe during the wintertime around the holidays. But trying to address this issue of learning loss and trying to think differently and encouraging school districts to do things differently is what this bill is focused on.
Brad, kind of, I guess, including this, but maybe in a more broad sense, I'm curious to know your take on just exactly what kind of business you think is going to be able to get done this session now that it's been going on for almost a month that isn't directly related to the pandemic. Do you feel like there's going to be, you're going to have a difficult time pushing through some legislation that really doesn't equate to anything that has to do with COVID at this point?
Well, you know, for example, the school calendar bill, that does relate to COVID, but it's really about our future as the state of Washington. And by the way, that bill, Chris, was totally voluntary. There's up to 30 districts out of the nearly 300 that could participate in this year-round school calendar with their financial incentives if they wanted to. There are a lot of different pieces of legislation currently in the process that, you know, you kind of scratch your head. Maybe they don't always make sense because to move all the way through the legislative process, it takes a long time, and the governor signs the bills in April. Then they actually don't become law until 90 days after that. So any of the bills moving through the process related to COVID, unless they have these emergency clauses attached to them, don't actually become law until June. So I think the effort still needs to be on emphasizing the governor to do certain executive actions due to the pandemic. But to your broader question, you know, there are many policy bills. I have a wildfire bill, for example, that are very important to the state that I do believe will be considered this year. But the extent as to how much time and effort can be applied to those versus these other COVID bills, you know, that's kind of the balancing act. I had a conversation just last night with one of my colleagues on the Transportation Committee, which I serve on this year, and she was talking about large-scale transportation investments. And because of the remote session and the lack of sort of close interaction and frequent interaction that we're having now as lawmakers, everything's over Zoom, everything's by a scheduled telephone call, you know, I think some of these bigger picture issues like major transportation investments and other things will sort of perhaps fall victim of the remote nature of the session because they just, some of these packages, you know, are ideal for in the hallways, pulling your colleague aside, you know, talking to them about this and that. And we just don't have that same sort of close interaction this session. So I think a lot of those bigger picture items might fall victim of the remote session.
Well, we'll look forward to finding out more about SB 5147 as the session proceeds, Brad, and we'll talk to you more about it in some detail here and kind of find out what your constituents are thinking and saying regarding that as well. Looking forward to our next discussion. We have them on Tuesdays around 7:30 every week with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins here on the Coho Morning Show. This will occur right on through the end of this year's legislative sessions in the springtime. Brad, I appreciate the time as always. Thanks a lot. Stay safe and healthy until the next time we chat. And I'll look forward to it.
Likewise to you, Chris. Thanks so much for having me.